Don Charles to run to the near side. He's got the open field. He's going to be hit and obliterated. Sacked by Tom Mahaly.
Wants to throw for
Bowie at the 30, at the 20.
Hey fans, welcome to Chiefs Live, presented by Midwest Ford Dealers. I'm Chiefs reporter DJ Kissel with 15-year NFL veteran Kendall Gammon as we talk about the Chiefs' upcoming game on Sunday against the New York Jets. Now, Kendall, Jets coming into this game 1-7. They've lost 7 straight. In those 7 games, they've given up an average of 31 points. This is the right time for the Chiefs to play this team, is it not?
It certainly is, BJ. When you look at New York, they're crumbling. You're going to see a QB change this week, which we'll talk about further. And they do have a defense that is playing well, certainly front seven. We'll discuss that also. But it's a team that's having a really hard time. And when you look back at some of the games they've had now, they got drubbed by San Diego 31-0. And in this league, to get shut out, you really have to work at it because normally you score a trash bucket at the end. That didn't happen. Now, against Denver, they were within a touchdown. Aqib Talib intercepts one to come back and put that game away by 2 touchdowns. New England, they had a chance. They get a field goal blocked. But in general, when you look at it, everything has went the wrong way for the Jets this year.
And you look at the one win they do have this season in week one, a 5-point win over the Oakland Raiders, who have yet to win a football game this season. But offensively, we do see a big change at the quarterback position, going away from Geno Smith and bringing in a familiar face to our head coach, Andy Reid, and former Eagles quarterback Michael Vick, who the Chiefs faced last year when he was with the Eagles, went 13 of 30 for 201 yards, had 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, but did run the ball 4 times for 99 yards, the guy who can still get it done with his feet. What do you see in Michael Vick?
You know what? The fact is, I still think he's a very good QB in this league. And you said the key word is that he can get it done with his legs and he can get those yards. So that's something that's going to be different for the defense of Kansas City this week. Will he be a little bit rusty? Is he getting the type of reps that you'd like with the first team? Probably hasn't been until this week. So it will be interesting to see the dynamics, but I can think of no really worse place to come in as a QB after you haven't played for a while than Arrowhead Stadium at 142.2 in the loudest stadium in the world. That will be tough for him. Offensive line, pass-wise, not protecting very well, as I think they've given up maybe 25 sacks or so. So they're down there. So they've got their work cut out for them. The one thing that they do well is they run the ball pretty well, and I think you've got some numbers on that. And that will certainly help out Vic. I mean, and quite honestly, I think he's going to need that help on Sunday.
And you look at how Vic's played so far this season. You talked about not getting a lot of first-team reps, yeah, but he's completing just 46% of his passes, has 5 turnovers, hasn't thrown a touchdown yet this season. But when you look at that running game, which they're going to want to lean on, they have the 3rd most rushing attempts in the NFL at 236. They're averaging 4.7 yards per rush. It's the team that's going to want to come in, run the football. But when they do go to the air, their number one receiver is a guy that Chiefs fans will be familiar with because he spent the last few years with the Denver Broncos in receiver Eric Decker, leads them with 363 yards and 3 touchdowns. What do you see from Decker out on the field?
You know what? He brings a leadership to the team. He's still playing tough. He's making some big catches. And I have to say, though, privately, if you were to ask him, he probably would take less money and stay at Denver because it has been a debacle right this year. And, you know, you've got pride. He's going to try to turn that around. But the fact is, it's not the same situation he is. I'm surprised. He's actually been more productive in New York with the QB there than I thought he would have been.
And you look at Decker, and he's that intermediate underneath receiver. Of his 31 receptions, only 2 of them have been for 20 yards or further thrown from the line of scrimmage. So you know where he's going to be, around the middle of the field trying to do some damage. But you look at a guy that's also doing some damage across the middle of the field, and that they do have a young playmaker at tight end in their draft pick last year in former Texas Tech Red Raider Jason Morrow, who leads them with 32 receptions so far this year.
Yeah, and I like Jason. 6'5", 265 pounds. This is a weapon, and I think this is what we're seeing in the NFL. We're seeing a lot of changes at the QB position, and we're seeing a lot of changes in the matchups of tight ends. You're seeing these big physical tight ends who can run, and they're creating mismatches. And he is definitely, even with them being 1-7, he is a mismatch on Sunday. So that's something that Bob Sutton and that defense of the Kansas City Chiefs will have to contend with.
Absolutely, and we know what they're going to do. We just talked about it, running the football. It's a two-headed monster between Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson. They both have breakaway speed. How do these running backs complement one another, and how are the Chiefs going to have to attack this?
Well, I think the fact that you can bring him, you can flip-flop him and keep people fresh. You know, Ivory, he's had the 71-yard scamper this year. Chris Johnson, while he's only went 35 for his long, he's always a threat. He came over from, of course, Tennessee. But I just think, you know, you talk about it being the two-headed monster. You can bring one or the other in. It's not nearly what you have in Kansas City with Davis and Charles, but it is a nice combination to have.
The other thing that we talk about, and it seems like we talk about every week, is the NFL becomes a very small circle of people and coaches that have been together. You look last week, it was Bob Sutton and Brian Schottenheimer that had spent time together with the New York Jets. And this week, you look at their offensive coordinator in New York, Marty Morningwig, who has spent a lot of time with Chiefs coach Andy Reid, going back to their 10 years together in Philadelphia. They spent time together before that in Green Bay, going all the way back to the University of Missouri and the University of Texas, El Paso. These are two guys that know each other very well. How does that dynamic affect what happens on Sunday?
Well, certainly, I think from Andy's standpoint, probably he's had a lot of influence on Morningwig, and probably vice versa. So to a degree, they know how each other think, and will probably have to play off of that a little bit. And I'm sure that will be going around in the brain a little bit during the game. But when it comes down to it, you still have to have playmakers that step onto the field between the white lines. And on Sunday, I believe that the Chiefs have more of them.
And I hope you're right, and I hope they continue to come out and play well and do what they've been doing over the last few games. Chiefs winners of four of their last five. That is something to watch for in the game on Sunday.
In 2003, when I got voted into the Hall of Fame, I had been working on my book, America's Game, for like 3 years by then. And so I'd gotten to know Lamar Hunt. And so I sent a note to Lamar that summer and said, hey, wouldn't it be a nice touch for the Chiefs to sort of pay homage to Hank by, on the first play of the game at the Hall of Fame game, line up in the choir huddle, which was one of Hank's signatures. I guess the letter didn't reach Lamar in time, so they didn't do it, and it was fine. And I was going back to talk to Carl Peterson, the president and general manager of the Chiefs, and he said to me, hey, Lamar passed on that note. We're going to have the team huddle up in the choir huddle.
Well, I think it all started before the Pittsburgh game. As players, we didn't know a whole lot about it going into it.
I wasn't trying to suggest that you do it before an actual football game that counts.
You know, when you go back and you look at it now, it wasn't a real comfortable just getting everybody lined up because it's not the norm.
Chiefs fans, to honor Hank Stram, the Chiefs offense is huddling in the choir formation.
So we go out, we get everybody lined up, call the play. It's a two tight end formation, run play to Priest Holmes up the middle. I don't think it was super successful. We maybe picked up a couple of yards. So we call the second play.
And then Trent Green throws an interception that's returned for a pick six.
For an interception returned for a touchdown.
And I'm just like, oh. Fortunately, the Chiefs wound up winning the game.
Cuts it back right across the 35.
But I hope that Hank got to see that, and I hope that he appreciated that. And I was glad it didn't cost them the football game.